Does a cyclops blink or wink? What was the first person to milk a cow trying to do? Why was their next instinct to drink it? If you never learned to speak a language, how would your thoughts appear in your mind? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters podcast.
I like the last one.
I'm still thinking about the cow. How did they first get the cow?
Yeah, but not only that, with the cow. Okay, so we saw a cow, and we saw its youngling sitting there sipping on the teat, and we thought, that's a great idea. So we're going to not only steal their milk, but then we're going to kill their babies, too.
Well, it's like chicken.
Yeah.
And anytime you get chicken nuggets, it's battered, so it's battered in egg. So basically, you kill it and then take its baby its unborn babies, and smother its unborn babies and fry it.
Maximum levels of disrespect.
Yes. Total.
Just so morbid when you think about it. Turn anybody vegan.
So this week's episode is episode 29. I have it in big old bold, so that way I didn't get it wrong. And this one is going to be, Did Hitler Escape?
Which I do want to apologize really quick. Any of you guys keeping up with our Facebook page? I think we originally were going to do reptilians on this one. And then
at the bar.
We drank a little bit more and decided that Hitler escaping was a little more interesting.
Yeah.
So here we are.
A little bit more detail into it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, we always want to start with our science news of the week. And this one I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't go to the molecular level. Someday it may be possible for people to tackle their food allergies simply by brushing their teeth.
No.
This guy is trying to kickstart a way for people with like peanut allergies to get this toothpaste that has minuscule, minute doses into it to be able to build up their tolerance to it.
Build immunity.
Yeah, build immunity to it. But a New York City-based company has launched a trial to start testing this concept in a small group of peanut allergy sufferers. The idea is to expose users to small doses of an allergen daily in order to build and maintain tolerance. Tying this treatment to a daily routine should help allergy sufferers keep up with regular treatment, says researchers at the Intramune Therapeutics, which developed the toothpaste. The product may also do a better job than existing therapies at delivering the active ingredient in those treatments to immune cells throughout the mouth, they say. So, about 32 million Americans have food allergies. One existing treatment, oral immunotherapy, also exposes patients to small amounts of their allergen through the daily doses swallowed as food. However, the treatment can trigger allergic reactions, and the hard-earned tolerance often wanes without continued maintenance dosing. So, if you stop it, you might get your allergy back.
Yeah.
So it's not like a long-term fix to it, it's just...
It could be if you keep up with it.
Well, I mean, you better be brushing your teeth every day.
Exactly, right.
Well, once you brush your teeth, keep eating that food, so you're... Keep ingesting it.
Keeping the tolerance,
Keep eating a peanut butter sandwich every once in a while.
Right. A gentler treatment known as sublingual immunotherapy, which instead delivers smaller doses through under-the-tongue liquid drops, offers different and decent protection while causing fewer side effects. And then this one lady at a different area had just said, Bill, the guy that runs that company, told me this crazy idea he had, and I thought it was genius. Okay, so the one issue with it is other allergists support the toothpaste concept, though some worry about dose control and safety because you can kind of overdo it.
Yeah,
putting your toothpaste on your toothbrush. When a patient's gums are sore and inflamed, for example, after dental work or losing a tooth, allergens may have direct access to the bloodstream, which increases the risk of systemic allergic reactions. So as long as she said, you know, if safety is something that I'm going to watch closely, she said, but if they found something they think they can commercialize and make accessible, and if they can prove that it's safe and effective, then fantastic.
I want to work on that trial.
Yeah.
I like that.
I really want
chocolate, to work on, right?
Well, I'm chocolate and seafood shellfish.
You're allergic to chocolate?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But I want to work on the trial, not be part of it. I want to be the EpiPen guy. Just standing there ready.
Standing in court just in case.
You see why the guy's brushing his teeth all of a sudden. He's like, oh, I go, hit him! Run over stabbing people with EpiPens.
You're going to be the fire extinguisher just in case. Yep. Break glass.
You got to break the glass every time, too.
Yes.
Different rooms.
Got to have the effect.
Just got a bandolier of EpiPens on my shoulders.
He starts good.
Got him!
He starts getting good with it with a dartboard.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
See if I can hit him 10 feet away.
When you were in the military, so you know how to work on weapons, you could devise like a dart gun.
Yeah. Well, they had one kind of that they inoculate you with. Just like high pressure air
gun. Oh, the air gun you're telling us about, yeah. Just
right in your shoulder.
Yeah.
You need one of those, but you can do it from like 20 yards.
Yeah. Paintball gun.
Put a fucking scope on. Let me tell you. And we're going to patent this idea, by the way, so if anybody wants to steal it, fuck yourself.
What, logging or loading a. Like a chain fed EpiPen saw. Got him. Just line all the trial people up.
All in the name of science.
Well, that was it. That was Science Things of the Week. Very short and sweet.
That's crazy to think about, man. Just brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fucking nuts.
Yeah, but I still hate fish, so. It wouldn't work for me.
Well, maybe
I don't want a fish flavored freaking toothpaste.
Well, maybe you only hate fish because you know you can't eat it or you die.
Well, I don't eat it. That's why I hate it.
But you could die.
It's one of those things, like, if you've never had, like, a certain food in your life because...
You bullshit, know, man.
Like,
I see
all of a sudden someone gives... Like kimchi. If I give you kimchi, you're probably going to look at me like, I've got three heads and be like, no, I'm not eating this crap because it stinks. But it's going to be good.
I think you hear people rave about chocolate. You can't eat any chocolate?
I can eat it, but I regurgitate it up.
You're going to regret it.
I regurgitate it up immediately. It won't even stay in my stomach.
Really?
Yeah, and I get hives. But like, if I eat an ice cream sandwich, the ice cream stays in my stomach, the chocolate doesn't. The
really?
The cake part comes back up.
That's a pretty good magic trick.
Yeah. I just sit there, all of a sudden you see me going, whoa, whoa. Yeah, I got real sick off of chili dogs. I didn't realize it was Skyline Chili.
They have chocolate in it?
Skyline Chili is flavored with chocolate.
I heard Camel cigarettes have chocolate in them.
I'm about to switch.
I would say no, because I smoked Camels before.
Yeah? Fine. Okay.
But no, they had the chili at Skyline Chili. I can't eat it. It's got cocoa in it.
Yeah, you're not missing too much. Sorry, Skyline. You're not the greatest.
And you don't sponsor us, so.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it, guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this one. I found a lot of information, and it was really cool to kind of dig into this one. Anybody want to kind of give a little timeline? Anybody got that?
I didn't do a timeline. I just went straight to the exact day.
Okay.
Well, I know he was born in Austria.
Not that far of a timeline.
And
fuck.
It was a warm, sunny day with a small drizzle on the steel rooftop.
You mean on the steel roof?
The steel roof.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Gestapo. The Gestapo wait for no one. Open the door. No.
But really, no, he was born in Austria.
Yes.
And it wasn't to the Gestapo knocking on the doors. But he had an odd upbringing. His father was like a womanizer, and he worked for the Austrian government. And he had three or four children, I think, with one lady, and then he messed around with like the maid or something like that and had another child.
Classic Arnold move.
Then he married Hitler's mother and had an older brother, her, and then Hitler was born. And I think when he was like 10 or something like that, his older brother died. And it really, really messed him up.
Just changed him.
Yeah. And his father was abusive and beat him all the time and beat his mother. And just a horrible, horrible man. And then when his mother finally passed away, that really, really like broke him down. And
someone said that one of his childhood friends said they'd never seen anybody that distraught over losing their mother before.
Huh.
But I think he failed, or he dropped out of school, I think, when he was like 16. And his father kept telling him over and over and over he's going to go into public service. He was going to work for the Austrian-Hungarian government. And just because of he hated his father so much, he was very pro-German. So, of course, German and Austria were Austria-Hungarian Empire, two different countries at the time. But that also engulfed part of old Germany, part of old Italy, or part of Italy now, and what's parts of Poland now, too. So when that fell, I think after World War I, then Hitler joined the military in World War I, and he finally found something he was good at, being a soldier. And after the war was over, the reparations were so hard on Germany and ruined Germany economically that he was, you know, just hated everything to do with just the whole government and everything else. But he actually got a job going in and finding people that were talking crap, like communists and that kind of stuff, against the German government, and worked his way up, and then finally found a labor party that he actually really sided with, worked his way up through that, and actually became in charge of that party, which later became the Nazi Party. But it was odd, too, when he was in college, all he ever wanted to be was a painter, an artist.
Hmm.
So that's when you start thinking of him as like Bob Ross one day, you know, like, we'll put a little happy tree over here, and I'm like, can I get the tree so I don't kill everybody?
Instead of a big afro, can he have just a huge, short, puffy mustache?
The fro stash.
Yeah, the fro stash.
We paint the happy little cloud here, yeah.
Nine!
So, I mean, what I got was, since at least 1943, it was becoming increasingly clear that Germany would fold under the pressure of the Allied forces. And in February of that year, the German 6th Army lured deep into Soviet Union and was annihilated at the Battle of Stalingrad. And the German hopes for a sustained offense on both fronts evaporated. And then, of course, June 1944, we landed at Normandy, France, and began systematically to push the Germans back towards Berlin. Now, Hitler, from his standpoint, he did not see the defeat yet. I mean, he knew it was kind of imminent and it was coming. So in January 1945, facing a siege of Berlin by the Soviets, Hitler withdrew to his bunker to live out his final days, and located 55 feet under the chancellery. The shelter contained 18 rooms and was fully self-sufficient with its own water and electrical supply. Though he was growing increasingly mad, and he was going crazy down there.
Well, they also think he had syphilis, too.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Well, that's what killed Al Capone.
Syphilis?
Yeah, when they arrested him and they put him in jail.
I guess it eats holes in your brain and stuff.
Yeah, if it's not treated, you go crazy because it starts eating your brain. Hitler continued to give orders and meet with such close subordinates as Hermann Goering, thank you, Heinrich Himmler, and Joseph Goebbels.
I think it's Goebbels.
He also married his longtime mistress, Eva Braun, just one day before his suicide. And then, you know, the infamous morning of 29th of April, allegedly, Hitler, Eva took the capsules.
Cyanide
capsules. And shot. He shot her and then shot himself. And it wasn't the Russians when they came in that found his body in the thing. The Gestapo actually took their bodies out and set them ablaze.
Put them in a ditch and covered them in gasoline. Which Eddie Izzard, if you ever seen Eddie Izzard's comedy, he's got a comedy show where he goes through like Hitler and stuff like that. And he's got a real funny one where he's talking about marrying Eva Braun. Like, oh, we're our honeymoon bees. Like, oh, over here in a ditch covered in petrol.
Yeah, I believe they were carried up to the emergency exit of the bunker. And they were like set, both of them allegedly, were set on fire in the hallway of the emergency exit.
Well, the odd thing, too, is, though, is the Russians were the first ones to actually get there, though.
Get there, yeah.
And they were in pillage mode. They weren't, they contaminated, they weren't, it wasn't like they were going in there to, like, it was going to be, like, you know, war crimes and, you know, and get all the evidence. And they just started pillaging and destroying and contaminating so much evidence that it's just unreal. I mean, such a major fuck up.
Yeah. Going back to the, sorry, I just had something in my head. Going back to Hitler going mad in the bunker, I could just picture one of his SS, you know, troops going, "Mein Führer, it's a very nice day outside. Would you like to go out?" And he's just staring out the window like, "Ah, nein."
With his sad clown painting in the corner. I did want to expand a little bit on the suicide part itself, though. There were three eyewitnesses and then one non-eyewitness. The one non-eyewitness stated that he had killed himself strictly of the cyanide. The three other people did state that he had shot himself, but depending on who you ask, depends on where he'd shot him. One in the mouth, temple, forehead. Like, it's not really a direct answer to how it happened.
Yeah. And who knows with them? I mean, and this is why we're doing this episode. Did he really kill himself or did he escape?
Mm-hmm.
And me personally, because Hitler had documented doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tons of them.
Even Winston Churchill had a doppelganger at that point. I honestly think that the doppelganger was the one that got shot.
Well, they were also saying that the bodies that they recovered from the ditch were both of them were female.
Yeah. Yeah, well, after the Russians had gotten his body, they actually started a museum in Russia about, you know, the World War. And they actually had a thing set aside for just Hitler. And they had the skull piece, and they were saying, this is Hitler's skull. And just recently, in the 2000s, there was a forensic DNA investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed him to come in and do a swab of the skull. Even before he did the DNA test, he was even quoted going, I don't think that that's a male skull. That looks like a female skull. I'm just saying that before I do the test. And sure enough, it did come back that it was a female around 40 years old. So it wasn't Hitler's skull.
Yeah.
But the big thing with the escape, you know, you know, you had some stuff on there, right?
Yeah, I actually have quite a bit on a handful of different scenarios, probabilities, just different things that might have happened. The first one that I wanted to point out was Patagonia. It was kind of Hitler's home away from home. It's a region of Argentina well known to the Nazis long before the start of World War II. Its population was mainly German immigrants and their descendants. The belief that Nazism remained there actually for years, even after the war. Even some local schools taught the beliefs of Germany under the Third Reich, like to children, which I thought that shit was insane. And then again, it was a much different time back then. But to think about them doing that now, it's like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things, too, is there's a big flux of Nazi generals and stuff like that to Argentina for the reason of the leader of Argentina at the time was so adamant that they thought that there was going to be another war, another breakout. But this time it was going to be the United States versus Russia.
You're talking about Juan Perón?
I believe Perón. So.
Yeah, Perón. Juan Perón. Yeah.
So we, the Americans, we were bringing Nazi scientists over here to help build the atomic bomb and steal, you know, or taking some of the stuff that we were finding and having them reverse engineer it for technology for, you know, jet aircraft and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, everyone was doing that. So Argentina did the same thing, but they brought generals and soldiers over to teach their soldiers how to, you know, to boost their military because they thought there was going to be another war. And that's why they allowed so many Nazis into their country.
Yeah. Oh, and on the same note, the Perons were welcoming all these Nazis too, just because, and also the technology side of it too.
Yes.
Argentina was trying to be up-and-coming power in the world.
Yeah, in Central America, they wanted to... And defend themselves.
Yeah. The monetary gain and just power in general, having Nazis around, that would be enough for them to be like, yeah, fuck it, whatever, dude. Like, come on through.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, at their point, they're looking at the ends to justify the means.
Yeah.
Another thing that I had researched were secret tunnels. The biggest secret thing is how did Hitler get out of Berlin in the first place? According to some researchers, Hitler used a secret tunnel system that ran under Berlin and connected to the bunker, more of like a hidden in plain sight kind of deal.
Which do exist.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's over like 80 miles worth of tunnels underneath Berlin. There's basically a city under Berlin.
How many kilometers did you say?
Well, the one that was the secret tunnel coming from Hitler's private area in the bunker was 6 kilometers. And it led once you popped out, it was on near a main road in Berlin right next to the airport.
And well, they also did a ground penetrating radar. And it looks like they might have found one that actually goes all the way to the actual airport and pops up underneath the ground around right in the airport itself.
I saw something. I can't remember exactly where I saw it. I swore I remember something. I watched something or read something that where actually a lot of Europe, their sewer systems are actually labeled, like where the street, like intersecting streets and stuff.
Oh, when you're underneath?
Yeah, when you're actually underneath, like in the sewer system of Europe. I can't remember exactly, so I can't reference this from what I saw it from, but I'm pretty damn sure I remember seeing something where every street you come to, like a four-way stop at their sewer system, and it tells you what street section or where it actually is almost mapped out for you. Hmm. So if Hitler was actually using tunnel systems or even the sewers to move around, it's all fucking mapped out for him.
Well, they had such... They built such infrastructure. The Nazis built such infrastructures that, I mean, it's kept the Discovery Channel, you know, with content.
Keep it afloat.
Last 30 years. To where, you know, you get that joke where people are writing into the Discovery Channel going, yeah, I loved season one of, you know, mega builds by the Nazis. When are you going to come out with some new builds for them?
Also found, this is submarine journeys and evidence of way stations to the Canary Islands. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the biggest clues to a predetermined plan were the vast amount of fuel supplies and just storage that were purposely built at a way station near the Canary Islands. It is believed that Hitler flew to Spain shortly after arriving in Denmark with Franco? I don't know who Franco is.
I think, was the king. King Franco?
Perhaps.
Of Spain?
Yes.
I think he was the king.
Yes.
Franco was providing, or offering to provide Hitler safe passage from Spain to Gibraltar, then to move on to the Canary Islands. From there, Hitler and Eva would board one submarine with their high-ranking officials boarding another. So they traveled in two submarines to get the rest of the way to the Canary Islands.
Yeah, and even Stalin is on record saying, Hitler's alive, if Hitler's alive. And he really suggested that he was still alive. He's either in Spain or he's in Argentina.
Well, yeah, Spain was neutral in the war. And,
supposedly.
Well, yeah, they were supposedly neutral in the war. And then they also were, they actually liked the fascist ideals.
And it was the same thing with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The United States set out a, I don't know if you want to call it like a posse or just like a, but they were out there trying to find if Hitler was still around. And my biggest question for the conspiracy is if Adolf Hitler killed himself in Berlin, why were there world spy services looking for him in the middle of the 1950s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they carried these investigations out for years to still try to even find him. So there's even people in the United States in our government that are like, he's still alive.
Yeah. What was the point in using all the money and all those resources to find a man that's dead?
Right.
The number of sightings, too, that I had seen, I didn't cover too many. Like, I didn't go down per date and, like, verbatim. But the number of sightings by so many people, I don't really think there was really any doubt that Hitler survived.
Well, they documented too that the flight paths of the airlines and all mm-hmm. that stuff, like days before his supposed suicide and whatnot, they were told, do not shoot down any aircraft over Berlin because they're ours. They're going to be ours leaving.
Yeah,
it was like, why would you get that order? And why was there actual lots of aircraft leaving Berlin that weren't getting shot at by the Nazis?
Yeah.
Or by the German army or anything else?
Well, with that whole flight thing, supposedly, and I forget the model of the airplane, but that model that Hitler would have used to escape was a Spanish airplane mm-hmm. that they used. And when they got to the airport, they dismantled it.
Really?
Yeah. Just to get rid of any kind of evidence of that flight taking place.
That's fucking strange.
Didn't they find a submarine in Argentina, too? A Nazi submarine?
Yes. Yes, they did. You got stuff on that, right?
I thought I did.
There was eyewitnesses that saw a U-boat. Called them U-boats.
Yeah.
But they had eyewitnesses at the harbor with a U-boat coming up. And Nazi uniform, guns up, ready. Witnesses, just, you know, public, that had said that they had seen a lot. And, like, I think it was, like, 5 or 6 months afterwards. And after it's kind of cooled down a little bit and everybody thinks he's dead, well, then here comes this U-boat showing up 5, 6 months later, which would be the exact amount of time. Because the U-boats at that time, if they were up on the surface of the water, they could go pretty fast.
Yeah.
But then once submerged, they were slower. And it would have been a 5-month trek.
And they were also diesel back then, too. Mm-hmm. So they weren't. They had the diesel engines that ran the batteries, that ran the motors. But they still had to come up for air, and they still had to come up to vent the heat and everything else off of it all the time.
Yeah.
It's not like the modern day ones where they can stay underwater for 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And not come up.
That's crazy to think, though. Being in a freaking sub for 6 months.
Oh, jeez.
And about 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Yeah. It's like the, what is the robot chicken thing with Darth Vader? It's like, what, you've been floating around out in space for 2 weeks? I mean, you must smell like feet wrapped in burnt bacon or something.
Yeah, it would probably get a little stinky.
Yeah.
To think about.
Really seals in the flavor.
That's fucking foul. There was one thing in particular that I thought stood out quite a bit. There was a night that Hitler was thought to be in South America. An Argentinian patrol unit had missed an opportunity to apprehend him. Mm. A short time after the war, people that were out seeking Hitler, that were allied to us, seemed to be hot on him. They had apprehended some German soldiers, were already arrested, they were getting ready to take him, but the patrol unit was ordered by their superiors to stand down and forget everything, let everybody go, just leave it.
Try to pull a Jedi mind trick, huh?
Yeah. That was just shortly after, I think it was a matter of 7 to 8 months after the war. Yeah, their superiors basically were just like, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't fuck with them. Just let them all go. Don't worry about it. Well, another person of interest that I came across was a Martin Bormann. He basically was Hitler's most trusted confidant. Kind of moved any people of influence away from Hitler. Kind of somebody that would try to pitch, like, oh, you know, Hitler do this or Hitler do that. Maybe you should think about this. Kind of moved everybody away from him. Like anybody that would possibly get in the way of the Nazi party. He seems to be... Bormann was really the man behind Hitler's escape, including where, when, how. And there's a whole list of other conspiracies. I didn't really dig too much into them because when I pulled the page up, it was just page. So... Martin Bormann might be a good guy maybe at a later time to come back and maybe look at some other conspiracies on him. Mm-hmm. But he was a person of interest that popped up. I definitely wanted to make sure we mentioned him.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys had anything on him.
I didn't.
No.
The big thing with this conspiracy of if he survived or if he escaped is the motive of Hitler. I mean, just to get into the twisted mind of Hitler, I don't think he would be the one to give up that way via suicide.
It's not within his character.
Not exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like he was
thought he was better than everybody else, above right. everybody else, above the law, above everything.
And the motive,
no one to answer to.
Right. And the motive to be to move to a different country and go incognito, it was to build the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
And that was I totally see his motives to do that. And just go out by suicide. I don't see it. I don't buy it. I think they killed the doppelganger, like, you know. Sorry, you're going to do this for the leader.
In Iraq, the term for doppelganger is literally bullet catcher.
Is what?
Bullet catcher.
Bullet catcher.
Yeah, that's the literal term of, like, doppelganger. I'm trying to think of... There's an amazing guy that I watch on YouTube. His name is Count Dankula. I'm not trying to give him a shout out or anything. But he did one on Osama bin Laden's son. And the whole story of his doppelganger. Like they captured this man while he was in their military. Facial reconstructive surgery. Where it was insane. But the term in Iraq for a doppelganger is bullet catcher. And that's exactly what they're for.
Yeah.
And he had been shot multiple times. Udi Hussein. That's it.
That was Mussolini. That. Didn't he have a doppelganger too?
I'm not sure if he did or not. He was a very odd looking man.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how many people you could get to look like him.
But with facial facial reconstructive surgery, like the one that Udi Hussein had, you couldn't even tell, man. It was insane. The lengths they went. They even hired somebody to teach this man his mannerisms all the way down to how he even smoked a cigar. It just goes to show you don't know how far a government will go to protect somebody.
I just don't see the whole tie-ins being getting a doppelganger from Mussolini or anybody. We're too laid back.
I thought you were going to say lazy.
No, we're too laid back. It's like we're just cruising around on Vespas.
Vespas.
just like... cat calling women. You know, even when they said, all right, we're all fascists, they went, all right, whatever. Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
I'm going to get some pasta. It's like, whatever. Just get on my little bicycle or my scooter and just cruise with chicks.
But, I mean, according to some of the reports, Hitler lived a peaceful exile in Argentina until 1962.
Mm-hmm. I did have something else on the pilot that flew Hitler to Denmark.
Okay.
Earlier we had mentioned that Hitler escaped through his bunker and tunnel systems under Berlin and then continued to a waiting plane. Captain Peter Ungart, I apologize.
Ungart.
Bungart, probably.
Bungart was a former pilot, claimed that he flew the plane that delivered Hitler. Peter stated this during a trial in which he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for SS membership. He maintained that he flew Hitler, Eva Braun, and several other high-ranking officials from Berlin to the Danish town of Tønder in May of 1945. Upon their arrival, Hitler shook Peter's hand and transferred a piece of paper into his hand. When Captain Peter looked at that piece of paper, it was a check for 20,000 marks.
Well, yeah, and because the Nazis had so much of a slush fund from all the shit that they stole. And, yeah, I can see that.
I'm impressed that they actually got... Only then again, he was an SS member. It would have kind of been great if they would have just got some old Cletus just to fly the plane. Just some jackass. But you know, Captain Peter Ungard actually seemed like a pretty intelligent individual. Didn't have any mental anything from the war or anything like that. He was just in the middle of a sentencing. He's like, yeah, you know, by the way, I did this too.
Well, they might have had Cletus on the airfield. Then he looked at him. Yeah, I'm not getting on that plane. Old Cessna, the duct tape on the propeller. Oh, no, it goes all the way out there. Don't worry, down there, right there.
See, I like to think Cletus was the one on the flight path that was dancing with the flight sticks. But, Hitler's death, 1962, right? That's what we were talking about before that.
Oh, but, yeah, but the Great Escape to Argentina. They were saying that he lived out his life and died naturally at 62. And there was a lot of reports of even Eva. Well, Eva Hitler now, because mm-hmm. they got married. Mm-hmm. Playing in courtyards and entertaining their daughters. So it was... I forget where, what's the name? Rolleiflex, as a court photographer, he had snapped a couple pictures. So if you wanted to check that out on the internet, but he says that he has the pictures of Eva Hitler playing with her daughters and that stuff in Argentina.
Shit, you want to talk about the biggest secret ever kept? Hitler's children?
Yeah.
Mm. It'd be nuts.
Yeah.
I think there's a guy in Germany right now that still claims to be Hitler's grandson or something like that. Hmm. And openly claims it.
Hey, you know, that'd be openly.
But no one's, ever been able to confirm it, I don't think, with DNA.
Hmm. You got a whole bunch of yahoos anyways.
True.
Yeah.
Could just be trying to get some spotlight. True. 15 minutes of fame.
Back on...
Yeah, that's the worst person to pick to be...
Yeah, right.
to get your fame from.
Yeah, but any publicity is publicity. Yeah,
it's true. But when we were talking about Hitler's death in 1962, that would have put him in his 70s. There's actually a book called Grey Wolf.
That's what I was just about to talk about,
By Simon Dunstane and Gerald Williams, stating that he was well into his 70s, had been... this states that he was long abandoned from his wife Eva and virtually all of his Nazi henchmen. These claims are allegedly based on a paper of Dr. Otto Lehmann, who treated Hitler in his final months of life. The papers were pronounced in Manuel Monastero's book about Hitler's life in Argentina.
Yeah. Let's talk about we were talking about it earlier, but let's talk about the Russians fucking up all this shit.
Oh, jeez.
Because how long was it before they actually came out with the full dossier?
10 years.
Yeah. 10 years to finally give information about how they found the body. And I mean, they had the reports, but it wasn't solidified.
Yeah. Well, like we said, when the soldiers rolled in there, they were in full... rape and pillage mode.
Yeah. And after they do finally get the bunker and they start, because, Germany had started amassing territory and they were breaking Germany back up again, they started charging a lot of the generals of the Nazis and that stuff with crimes against humanity. Hitler never received a charge.
I think they'd be the first motherfucker on the list.
But they were like, he's dead. So he never received a charge.
Yeah, and then you got the Russians too that, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that how bad the German military was in World War II at the beginning of it. You see pictures of the tanks and the Blitzkrieg stuff like that, but they didn't have as many as people think they did. They still had horse-drawn carts and crap like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't have the infrastructure at the beginning. If we would have, on certain war fronts, if we just would have went in there and just took care of business, we could have stopped them a lot earlier. But we gave them time to actually build the infrastructure up. But even when they were attacking the Russians, which is the dumbest thing that Hitler did, if he just would have focused on Europe, left them alone, and not dragged America into it too, and just left Britain alone and just took over Europe, he would have been fine. He would have succeeded.
Yeah, Vladimir drinking the rest of his vodka, yeah. Like, let's go!
Well, when they went into Russia, they were so brutal to the Russian people, to where the fact that the Russians were even like, well, here's ammunition, and they gave, like, they have, like, three or four guys, and they give one guy the rifle and the other guy the ammunition, so when he's dead, pick up that rifle and keep going. No surrender. Even to the women, no surrender. So the women even, the Russian women even fought just as hard as the men did, and it was literally no surrender, and millions and millions and millions of Russians, citizens and soldiers, were just wiped out. And they were just so brutal in the tactics when the Germans come through. Of course, it's going to piss you off. To the fact that when you actually come into Germany now, yeah, you're not thinking twice about, you know, just going ham on everybody and just screw it. I don't care if it moves, I'm shooting it. And it's just like payback, basically, at that point.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the
PTSD and everything else that those people went through, and then to actually start winning. It gives, I mean, I can't blame them for going in there and just, like, looting and, like, seeing the bodies or whatever they did with them, you know, and fucking with them.
I think another reason Hitler didn't really succeed Russia, I think about the,
well, the winter.
Yeah, I was about to say the geographical layout of Russia. It is fucking barren wasteland.
Napoleon tried it, fucking ruined it.
Yep.
Hitler's like, oh, I got a different idea. Let's go on in there. Oh, wait, shit. I should have played Risk.
Yeah, just the location of Russia and just how the landscape is. It is. The landscape alone is fucking brutal to try to survive.
Well, they also screwed up because they went in. Of course, you go in through the winter and permafrost, you know, or, you know, the ground's frozen. But then all of a sudden, spring, it started thawing. It's just mud.
Yeah.
Just saw, I mean, all the tanks just
sink.
Literally stopped in their tracks. Yeah. They couldn't move through all that sticky clay. And then when it was frozen, though, they weren't equipped with the right kind of gear to survive it. They just all froze to death. It's kind of like when you hear stories about Napoleon, where his soldiers would actually walk up to the horses and just cut a slab of meat off the horse's leg while it's pulling the carts. And the horses were so cold, they couldn't feel it. And the guys would just cut hunks of meat off their legs as they were pulling the carts and eat it. And then later on, they would eat the rest of the horses and then their shoes, the leather in their shoes, just to get some in their stomach. Because it's just such a brutal front. The weather alone is the best defense the Russians have.
Yeah.
It's true.
But another thing a lot of people don't realize, too, is how easy it could have been for Hitler to pull this off.
Oh, shit.
Because when the war was over, it's not a date when you sign the treaty and surrender and all that and it's over. It was months, 5-6 months, till everything actually was worked.
Settled.
Worked out and stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, because there were still, you still had soldiers, logistics, I mean, everywhere. You still had all the supply lines and everything else going on. Even though the war was over, that's so easy just to get them out.
And think about if Hitler succeeded in getting nuclear bombs.
Oh, Jesus.
That would have been a game changer. And they were close. All right, Mr. Silence the Phone.
Means you buy the next round of beer!
I did silence the phone. It's a damn March Madness shit.
But think if he was able to get nuclear technology, they were on
the verge of it.
That would have been a total game changer. He would have nuked the shit out of everybody.
Everybody.
Oh, he would have hit Britain first.
He especially hated Britain.
Where was his dad from?
His dad was Austrian.
Okay.
But at that time, Austria was partial. The people that lived in Austria at the time, before World War I, were German, Austrian, Italian, and Eastern European. So they were like a mix of a bunch of people from the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which earlier had absorbed taken the land from Germany and other previous wars.
Yeah.
Why is the Ottoman Empire kicking into my head?
That was before.
That's way before. That's like Turkey. Turkey.
Because the Ottoman Empire swept through that whole area.
Yeah, and they were really known for their furniture.
Shut up, dude. That was a horrible dad joke.
I got it.
And I salute you for that because I fucking have my dad jokes.
What's done is done.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell that one. That shit's so funny. Maybe later, but that one's fucking awesome. One of the bigger things that stuck out to me, too, was just a lot of the FBI documents and media reports. There's so many classified fucking reports from World War II. None of them really conclusively prove that Hitler escaped. None of them didn't really conclusively prove that he didn't.
Right.
And just the sheer number of reports and Hitler sightings like we had talked about earlier. And I mean, the FBI like really took that shit seriously.
Oh, they came out with like, if you look online and just look at Hitler disguise, you'll see the old thing where they kind of like put a lineup of photos of him shaved head, no mustache,
beard,
full beard with glasses. Yeah, they were putting the wanted posters out.
You think the first thing, if I was Hitler, the first thing that I would have done, I'd grow the mustache out all the way.
I just chop it off
and keep the beard, like just full facial hair.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for a dickhead with a little stash. They're not looking for somebody with a full curly Q. But I know a lot of these reports that were classified back then, a lot of them have been declassified. Ian and I were actually speaking earlier, and I think we touched on it with the Vatican. There's, depending on the severity of the event, depends on how many years they have to wait before they release it.
And I was trying to remember. I think there's like a 25 mark. There's a 50-year mark.
75.
Yeah, they go by the quarter.
Mm-hmm. But the reports, release dates, in the immediate aftermath of the war suggest that the intelligence service at least entertained the possibility that Hitler escaped. A lot of news reporters actually had kind of pushed that agenda to where, you know, he escaped from the bunker. He's safe in Argentina, at least a lot of the local people. I mean, Hitler spoke very well. The things he did were fucking terrible, but the people that followed Hitler, like, truly loved him for what he did or what he was trying to do.
He was a shit human being.
Absolutely.
But he was an amazing orator. I mean, he could speak to crowds.
Oh, yeah.
Fired up. And just his presence alone was very, you know, I won't say intoxicating, but he was very...
he was influential.
Yeah, he could change your views really quickly.
Yeah.
And I try to think about, like, if Hitler had chose violence, if he would have chose more of, like, more of an ally base, like, could you imagine having Hitler, like, as an ally to the United States and the good that could have possibly came from that? As far as, like, the way that science and engineering and...
But I think you got to go back to the root of actually Hitler himself. He was rage.
Yeah.
He hated. And I think that's what pushed him to the leadership.
If he had, much hate of his father and so much hate of authority.
Resentment of things.
And so angry about how his life didn't turn out the way it was supposed to, and he failed out of art college, and then how the only job he can get was a soldier, and then all of a sudden World War I ended, and the Germans weren't allowed to have a military anymore, so he didn't have a job anymore. And, I mean, he was homeless for a while, too, until he actually started, you know, working for the government, where he was infiltrating and exposing these other groups that were against the government, because there were like four or five other parties that were like the Nazis. They just never really caught wind until he found that Labor Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a drunken bar one night, stood up and started speaking. And everyone's like, yeah, let's follow this asshole.
But yeah, I think if you were to reverse the roles,
I
don't know how influential he would have been, because he was just... And again, I hate
the rage motivated
him. Yeah, the rage motivated him to become that leader.
Well, he also, his lack of empathy or care of humans at all, depending on who you were, race, creed, color, doesn't matter, sexual orientation, he didn't give a shit. So he's like, well, let's start, you know, cutting people up. Let's start experimenting. Let's start doing this. That's how a lot of their scientific
advances work because they had no morals.
Well, I'm not trying to sound like I'm pro Hitler over here. I'm just saying.
Okay, so you're talking that way. And I'm just imagining a Hitler riding a unicorn, being "I will shoot the rainbows and the good luck towards you." Yeah, you know what I mean. Like I just don't see it.
No. The only reason they were as technologically advanced as they were is because he was such a brutal, brutal man.
I hate to always go back to the analogy of it, but it's like Star Wars. Like, it's like the Sith. You know what I mean? They grow their power based off of their hate versus the Jedi. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's why you got the dark side with the big Death Star. And then the good guys... They're all nice, have a little itty bitty X-Wing fighters.
Like I said, wasn't trying to seem pro-Hitler.
No.
I was just trying to think of
what if he used his power to the good?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I just don't see him shooting the rainbows, yeah.
Yeah, have a strudel. Yeah. I made it myself.
Just for you, my friends.
I get my German accent from Apex with the Bloodhounder.
You need to play that shit, by the way, man. What the fuck? Why don't you play that?
My Wi-Fi sucks too bad to do it.
Well, we're getting towards the end here, so what do you guys think?
I definitely think Hitler escaped.
Plausible?
Very plausible.
I think... Very, very plausible.
But, I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, yeah, I put it at, like, 50-50, though. Because, I mean, he could have been in a ditch covered in petrol.
See, I'm more than 50-50. If I want to give it a percentage, I say 70-30.
I'm just going 50-50 because yes or no.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things where there's a strong amount of evidence against it, and there's not a strong amount of evidence. It's about lopsided, about either or.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is, one, there's not a body. And two, the only photograph of the body came out.
Does not look like him.
Years after. It doesn't look like him. There's reports.
Well, and the reports were that he was lit on fire.
10 years later.
Yeah.
No, he was supposed to be lit on fire after he was shot.
No. I'm saying all like the big reports and everything coming out 10 years later.
Yeah. And they're all botched.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
And I mean, And like I said, you know, when World War II ended, there were still, the supply lines were all still there. The communication lines were all still there. There were still Nazi troops, German soldiers in other areas. I mean, it wound down. It just didn't stop on one day. Mm-hmm. So the infrastructure was still there to get them out.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was saying, they had tons of slush fund.
And then on top of that, you have the Argentinians that were... bringing people in because they're like, yeah, we need to learn. We need to build up our military because we think there's going to be another war, great war, between the superpowers again. And we need to protect ourselves. So, I mean, the evidence.
Which they were kind of right.
Yeah.
Cold War.
Well, the Cold War. Yeah. But they thought it was going to erupt out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I say definitely plausible that he survived and he lived to the ripe old age and died in 62, like that one report was saying in that book, The Gray Wolf. The Gray Wolf.
I say it's possible.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to keep this one under an hour.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Nice.
You guys can always reach us at the Abnormal Matters Podcast on Facebook, and you can also do us at Gmail. The Abnormal Matters Podcast at gmail.com. We always, always appreciate you listening. We see you out there. You know, I posted that last one on a Sunday, and the next day I check it. It's just tons of people listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to us. It's why we do this. And it gives us a lot to move forward with, you know, when we see that number climbing of people listening. I don't know if you remember maybe not last episode, but the episode before, the marker was at 3,000. Mm-hmm. We're at 3,500 now, almost 3,600. So please keep listening. We're trying to, I have that one short ad in the beginning, but that's just with Anchor. And we're trying to keep it ad free, you know, just so you guys can enjoy it and not listen to a whole bunch of ads and stuff. But let us know what you're thinking. If you want us to do an episode that you had stuck in your mind that you'd like to hear about something strange and odd, let us know. And again, I will post our phone number and our link. You can always text us.
Super, super grateful for everybody listening, guys. Really appreciate it. We got some good shit in tune, so definitely stick around.
Yeah, I got nothing. No, thanks, guys, for listening. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Later.